What is truth? We're wrapping it up this week. And it's been a nine-week series. And I hope that you have gotten some new equipping through this series and maybe learned some things. Some of the stuff I've taught on over and over again, but I still learn stuff when I go to the Word again. And but one of the things I think that this series, I've wanted it to show us, is that just as any good employer would never send you off to a job site without the necessary tools and the necessary training, God, through the teaching that He's given us, that we've expounded on in this series, and through His Word, He's equipped us both with rationale and with the biblical tools that are needed to love, to serve, to share with the people of this generation and all the other areas that we've covered in there. He's given us everything that's necessary to do what we've been talking about all these weeks. And today, I want to remind you that you have everything you need to know God's Word and to share God's Word and to live God's Word, because everything you need is promised in this book, the Bible. It's another reason why we do not need to spend any more time. There's nothing wrong with reading books. There's nothing wrong with reading books about the Bible. There's nothing wrong with Christian authors writing things, talking about topics in the Bible. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But I'll say, if that is your Bible study, you've missed it. Because the best way to study the Bible is with the Bible. And the only way you get that is to read the Bible. If you're reading a book just about it somehow, you're reading someone else's opinions, which are flawed. Sometimes they hit it. Sometimes I hit it. But sometimes we're flawed in our view of, and then not just, even if it's not flawed, God may say one thing to you in Scripture that you've just really needed for your life. And He may say a completely different thing to me, but it's just as needed for my life and just as powerful. That's one of the reasons His Word is called the living Word. It lives. It's what we need when we need it. And God knows that. And He uses His Word in that way. In fact, listen to this Scripture here that I want to start with in 2 Peter 1:3-4. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Now, I could stop right there and just dismiss. That's it. God's given us everything we need for living a godly life. And we've received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So, for a moment, let me first embed this encouragement in your heart that if you are a child of God, meaning you have responded to the grace of God that He has brought to you and shown to you and given to you in your life, both to forgive you of your sins, to save you, then you have everything you need to live a God-empowered life. Now, we're constantly in search for something more. We're constantly in search for a quick fix, an easy remedy. I've used this as an illustration before, so I'm not going to elaborate on it, but my knee has been really hurting me lately. I mean, the whole apple on it again, swelling out with the fluid building up. It's just gross. And it's really been hurting me. I know one of the reasons, well, I'm bone on bone and have no cartilage in this right knee after a couple of surgeries and injuries and everything. I know that's one of the reasons. But the reason it's bothering me again is I have been very careless in the last few months, and I've put some weight on. Now, as I've put more weight on, that's put more pressure on my knee. as more pressure is put on my knee, more fluid builds up, more swelling comes, and it hurts. And it, I mean, it really hurts. And so Kim and I started a couple of days ago. It's good to have a wife that'll go through this with you, because otherwise, if I'm sitting there, you know, doing a protein shake and she's eating a Big Mac, I get mean. And so I just get mean. And so I'm glad that, you know, we go through this together. And so over the last couple of days, and last night, she was getting out to run into a convenience store for something. She was actually going into the one down near the old Cornerstone Church. I don't remember the name of it now. Living Word or whatever church, and because they've got a little post office section there, so she's going to get a flat rate box out of there. And she went in, came right, and right as she's getting out of the car, I hollered to her. I said, "By the way, get a couple of Payday candy bars, couple for now, couple for later." And she said, "Yeah, right." I said, "Oh yeah, and a bag of Cheetos." She said, "Yeah, all right." I said, "Oh," and right as she's going in the door, I said, "And a Little Debbie Nutty Buddy Nutty Bar, you know." And I sit around for the last 2 days, and I think of everything that I want that I know is not good for me. And so when you have these cravings and these desires, what do you want in life? What do you look for? You look for a quick fix. And so I'm not going to do this, but millions of Americans, probably because I went to school in North Carolina, but y'all just don't get it. It is funny. It is funny. It's hilarious. But millions and millions of Americans will still respond to a 12 midnight infomercial on TV and order these super power pills for $19.95. And oh yes, if you order right now, we'll double your order. Only pay shipping and handling. And you take one of these pills a day. You don't have to exercise. You can eat anything you want, and it will just magically burn your weight off. And that's what we look for. And idiots send hard-earned money in for this stuff by the billions, not millions, by the billions of dollars. At the risk of being really disrespectful to a lot of Christian ministry stuff, that's a lot of times what we do in our Christian walk. We're looking for a pill or a program or a book or a tape I'm showing my age, or something to download that will automatically bring us to where we need to be to walk in total victory with Christ. No more temptations, no more cravings, no more problems, no more worries. We are a mature Christian now. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to get there. It is through the study of the Word of God, through prayer, and through fellowship with His people. That's it. There is no easy shortcut. And so I say that as an encouragement, though, by saying there is everything that you need available. Philippians 4:13 says this bold verse, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." You gotta love when the Bible just says it plainly and clearly, because there's no debating that verse. It doesn't need any explanation whatsoever. So let me just apply it to day-to-day living. This verse means that God has given you the ability to know His Word. And that's where we started in this series, how we can know the Word of God, how we can stand on the Word of God. So He's given you everything you need to have the ability to know His Word. He's given you the capacity to love people. You might not believe it. You might not think that you can actually love people, but you can. He has equipped you to be able to do that. And again, just quick reference, I don't mean having those warm, fuzzy feelings for them, but to act in love toward them as Christ acted in love for us while we were still sinners and died for us. And so everything to do that. He's given you everything in his truth, in His message, to be able to tell people of His love and salvation. That's where we went after that. He's given us the humility to serve as He served. We talked about serving in Christ's name and for His sake. He's given you the truth of His Word so that you can stand firmly on His Word, regardless of the repercussions. And so God's given you the wonderful privilege and the opportunity and invites you to praise and worship the God of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. And we talked about praise and worship as one of the truths. What's the truth about praising and worshiping? And then we came to forgiveness. God has given you everything you need to be able to forgive and to be able to accept forgiveness. It's just when you get in the way that you either don't forgive or you can't receive it. I think the only thing that ever keeps us from dealing with forgiveness properly is selfishness. It's what we want, what we think, what we're focusing on, rather than on what God has done and who He is and what He's called us to do. So you can forgive. And He empowers so that we can do these things. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, I don't know if you've thought about exactly what this verse is teaching. It does not say be strong in the Lord and in His power and stops there. No, it teaches something more assuring. In fact, notice there are three words for power in this verse. They're all very different in the first century language in biblical Greek. They're very different usages of the word from the Apostle Paul when he penned this verse. And two of the three words refer to God. Let me break these down for you. First, he says, in the power of His might. This word, power, is taken from the Greek word kratos, which means power or greatness or strength. Then it talks about, uses the word might. The word might is taken from the Greek word iskous, which means ability or forcefulness. So you see, this verse is not just teaching us to know the basic God is powerful. Rather, it is instructing us, it's actually commanding us to rest, listen to this, to rest confidently in the power of His power. It's teaching us to rest confidently in the greatness of His ability. And it's teaching us to rest confidently in the strength of His might. That's what those words are teaching us. But then there's a third word. And the third word is actually not referring to God, but it's referring to you and me. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You know what this word strong comes from? It comes from the Greek word dunameo. Dunameo is where we get the word dunameo, dunamite, dynamite. Dynamite. It's where we get the word dynamite, which means literally explosive power. Overwhelming power, uncontainable power, strength. So this means that we as believers, we are to show explosive, overwhelming, uncontainable power and strength in our lives. How? Because of my own power? Absolutely not. Well, who's powerful ability? He says it, be strong in the Lord. So not I, but Christ. You say, I hear this all the time. Listen, here, what do we say as a response to this? But Pastor, I just can't. Okay, that's fair. But He can. And we're to be strong in His power. Be strong in His might. And because of who He is and what He is and what He's done and what He's doing, we are to display that dunameo, that dynamite, overwhelming, explosive, uncontainable power in our lives. Not because we're so strong, but because He is. We learned it as a little child. I am weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. You learned it as a child. You didn't even listen to what you were singing. I'm weak. What a great confession in that song. It's actually a great lyric in that song. I am weak, but he is strong. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. And that is tremendous love, that he loves us in our weakness, that he loves us in our failure like that. Well, Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by force, it's not by strength, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And that's how we live a dynamic life. Listen, folks, I want to run through these again. You know what that says about his strength and his might? It means, again, you can know his word. You can love the people he loved. You can tell of his love and salvation. You can serve as he served. You can stand on his word. You can praise as he taught us to praise. You can forgive as he modeled for you and for me. And it's all because he empowers us and protects us and infuses us with a power source that I cannot find or manufacture in and of myself. But it's only through him. Galatians 2:20. It says, my old self, Paul writes, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's another verse promising that you can do it. It's about the weakest excuse that a Christian ever has. I really want to, but I just can't. Paul wrestled with that. Paul said, you know, my spirit's willing. I want to do it, but what? My flesh is weak. Can anybody relate to that? Absolutely. I can. You know, my spirit is about 175 pounds, but my flesh ain't back there yet. And my flesh is still going, little Debbie's, little Debbie's. I got two little Debbie's Star Crunches on my desk right now. How cruel. Come get those off my desk after church. Somebody wants a little Debbie Star Crunch, by the way. Aaron, I love you, buddy. You're not getting them. But you say we can't do it, but he can. Look at this. The question is, we've seen verses already, and we're not even halfway through, but we've seen verses already of how he's strong. We can be strong in him. He supplies us what's necessary. He is our strength. He is our help. He is our hope. So the bottom line is, yes, he can do it. And that translates into the bottom line of, yes, we can live for him the way he's called us to live. But here's the question I want to hit you with today. Will you? That's what it always comes down to. God can. And I can. But will I? And hopefully your answer is, yes, I will. You see, it's one thing to say, yes, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. I believe in you, Lord. I trust you. You're my strength. You're my hope, Lord. All of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would probably echo the response that Peter gave to Jesus when asking this question in John 6:67-69, where Jesus turns to him and turns to the 12 and asks, are you also going to leave? Because Jesus had just told what it really meant to be a disciple. And what it really meant to be a disciple was a lot tougher than the crowd wanted to hear. You see, people haven't really changed, have they? People still then wanted a quick, easy fix, fun church. People today still want a quick, easy fix, fun church, high five chest bump church. Struggle church, difficult church, take your mask off and admit you have need church. Take up a cross and follow Jesus. That cross is heavy. It's got splinters in it. Not so much. So Jesus has just said what it means to follow him. And he turns to his disciples, the 12, and says, are you going to leave? And Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe, and we know you are the Holy One of God. I think probably every one of us would say that with our hearts. We sing about our great God. We amen truths about our great God. But now we've got the opportunity to actually demonstrate to him that we take seriously our commitment to him by obeying his word. How do we obey his word? Well, first of all, let me remind you, Samuel, we read that obedience is better than sacrifice. And basically what that means is there's a lot we do in religion to appease ourselves. Sometimes, I hope this isn't the only reason you come to church, but sometimes it's come to church. Sometimes it's maybe write a bigger check in the offering. That might work. Try it. Yeah, some of you will slowly get what I meant there. We do things to appease ourselves. We go through religious motions. We sit down at a meal, and we automatically pray the prayer, bless this food and pardon our sins, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. And are we really realizing how grateful we are that God's provided for us? Are we really blessing his name? We go through a lot of things. And that's kind of the sacrifice part. The obedience part is doing what he's called every one of us to do. Not just preachers, not just pastors, not just seminary graduates, but he's called us all to tell. He's called us all to just even invite, to be in people's lives, to, you know, it's such an easy thing. You say, well, I don't know everything to share. I don't know everything to say. It's good if you can study to know to be able to defend the hope you have and give reason for the hope you have. It's good that you can rightly divide the word of truth, that you can expound on it and rebuke with it and use it for correction and encouragement and everything else. That's good. That's a biblical admonition. But if you're not there yet, the very least that you can do is you can invite people to church. You can invite people. You know, we've talked recently, even in leadership team, about all of the different ministries of our church, children's ministry, music ministry, Bible study, everything else. And, you know, for instance, you know, we're blessed, I think, with one of the greatest children's ministry directors we could have. And I don't mean for part-time or for our money or for our size church. I think Erin's awesome. She does a great job, much more than we pay her to do and much more than we ask her to do. And I'll pick on that as an example. We said, well, it really needs to be a full-time type ministry. I said, oh, you're absolutely right. But I don't believe the people of this church have supported it as a full-time ministry yet. Well, Tim, how can you say that? Because you're not bringing all your kids on Wednesday nights. You're not bringing all your kids on Sunday mornings. And if the families of the church are not willing to support a ministry, then guess what? How can we expect others outside to support a ministry? Week after week after week after week after week, our praise band and music team leads us in worship. As I travel around and go to conferences like I went to this week and everything, I realize just how good they are and how blessed we are to have them. And yet, I know, because they do this as volunteers, I know that there are others of you who come either regularly or from time to time who have gifts and abilities that you could serve in that area too. Some of you are younger and some of you are older, and you could give these guys a break from time to time. And you say, Quit chasing rabbits. Get back to the scripture. This is the scripture I'm talking about. It's about being obedient with what he's given you and what he's charged us to be. The talents he's given us, the abilities he's given us, the children we have, the grandchildren we have, the influence we have with our mouth, the network of people that we know and can have a bit of influence in. The least we can do is tell a good and encouraging word that Jesus Christ is Lord. And even just an invitation to a fall festival. I'm being tough on us as a church this morning. But I think back to last December 4th, we've got the Christmas music, Christmas concert coming up. Last year, we put that on. We had a decent response from outside community. We had 24 people total from our church support it. You say, did somebody tick you off this morning? It's not that. Listen, I could not love you guys more, and it's because I love you that I got to say, you're never going to realize the blessings of God in your life until you realize the obedience to God in your life. You say, well, it was the bad day. It was a bad time. You did other things at that time. You chose other priorities at that time. You see, there's always choices to make, and there's things that we can do, but there's ministers needed in this church and in this community and in your school and in your work, and not all can be paid professional seminary-trained pastors. You are called to minister also. And so obedience should be a natural outflow of the gratitude we have for who God is and what he's done in our lives. This What is Truth series has equipped us to execute. But now the question is, will you? The Lord calls out all of those who are willing to be obedient to his call to reach the world, to tell the world, to praise the Lord in this world, to show God's love in this world, to offer forgiveness in this world. Look at Isaiah 6, verse 8. Then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. I wonder this morning, as you listen to the words of Scripture, and knowing that God's given you and given us everything we need to serve him in the way he's called us to serve, I wonder this morning if God issues that call, and he is issuing that call because it's through his word, and his word never dies. It never changes. And he says, whom shall I send? Who shall I send to the University of Georgia? Who shall I send to Clark County Schools? Who shall I send to the factory over here and the business over here? And who shall I send to Oconee County subdivision here and to Clark County subdivision in East Athens and to Madison County and to who shall I send? He's not waiting on millions of dollars to come flowing in for some expert to step up to the plate and say, I'll go plant a church and do this out there. He's waiting for you to say, here I am, Lord. I don't know how you can use me, but I'm available. I don't know why you would use me, but if you can use me, Lord, I will. That's a question for all of us this morning, and we got to answer it. Will you know and believe God's word? I'm repeating this again. Will you love the people he loved? Will you tell of his love and salvation? Will you serve as he served? Will you stand on his word? Will you praise as he taught you to praise? Will you forgive the way he modeled for us to forgive? It is, listen, it's a matter of the will. It's a matter of obedience. We could all say, I can. But will we all say, I will? Listen, your job is to be obedient. That's all that God calls you to do. You leave the results to him. He's the one who draws men to himself. You just have to be found faithful. Can I make a statement here? And just know, anyone who is truly saved of God was not saved by anybody in this room. God saved them. Oh, I've made a few disciples in my day. I've saved some people. They don't even believe or resemble a Christian now. They've prayed a prayer, walked an aisle, gone through waters of baptism, maybe because of some clever words I said, or maybe some manipulation on my part. I hope it was subconscious. I hope and pray I didn't do it on purpose, but I probably did at some point in time in my life. God has never asked you to save one person. He only asks you to obey him and tell them they can be saved. He'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. Be found faithful. Well, I want to close with four quick encouragements for when we obey. You ready? Number one, let God's word do the talking. It's one of the reasons it's important to know God's word. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. That verse right there, all those verses ought to set you free to know you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know all of the theories involved with evolution. You do not have to know everything related to the Big Bang. You do not have to know everything about when this little glob of whatever crawled out of the water and grew feet and then became a monkey and then lost its tail and then became a man. You don't have to have all the answers for all the educated idiots that teach ridiculous myths like that at the University of Georgia or anywhere else. You don't have to have all that. You don't have to be able to have every answer for every question, but you have to have the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life and be real and let his word do the talking, not you. Second, let God guide your steps. Exodus 4:10-12. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled." Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth?" Hello. "Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what you say." You've heard this as part of my personal testimony, but I want to tell you, those verses slapped me right in the face. As part of my personal testimony, you know, whether you believe it or not, it's another thing, because I gab so much now. But as part of my personal testimony, I was one of three children in the family. My brother and sister, show them a stage, show them a spotlight, and they were in the middle of it. Me, I'd take a C on a book report than to have to give it in front of the class if I could hand it in written. I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't speak. I wouldn't get in front of people and do things. I was about the most introverted person as far as speaking goes that you could imagine. I played ball all my life. I spoke some, not very well, but I spoke some on the field through my playing, but I didn't speak with words. And for years, from the time I was an older teenager through my early 20s, I knew God was calling me to ministry. And I said, "No, Lord. No, you're mistaken. I'm sensing this wrong. This can't be me. My brother, my sister, my father, they're the ones who teach. They're the ones who entertain. They're the ones who can play any musical instrument. They're the ones that when they open their mouths, it's eloquent. I'm the one that gets diarrhea every time I have to stand up in front of a group and share anything. I can't do it, Lord. And years ago, I read this word. Tim, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Folks, if you will this morning say, God, I will, He'll guide your steps. Third, let God's hand ease the stress. Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19. Get up, prepare for action, go out, tell them everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, or I'll make you look foolish in front of them. I love this. For see, today I have made you strong like a fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar or a bronze wall. You will stand against the whole land, the kings, officials, priests, people of Judah. They will fight you, but they will fail. For I am with you. I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. That's a promise from God, folks. That is a promise from God. There is a little country called Israel that's surrounded by about 48 people groups that want to destroy them right now. They should not be there. But a few thousand years ago, God made a covenant with them and said, you are my people, and I have a land for you. And by the way, the land that they're occupying right now is not even but about half of what God's already promised to them in Scripture. They still need the West Bank and Palestine and parts of Syria and parts of Iran and part. I mean, it's got to expand. It's what God promised them. And you say, but I don't get this. Well, just look at this in history. All through history, the great Babylonian Empire, the great Roman Empire, the Greek Empire that went untouched for 300 years, they don't even exist anymore. But Israel's still there. And can I tell you, they're not going anywhere. They will still be there. Even when we've had presidents and politicians of recent time who stood against them and stood for their enemies, Israel has still been there and been strong. You look through history, nations who have cursed them and tried to annihilate them, it didn't end well for those nations. You say, well, how could that be? Is there something magical there? Is there something mysterious there? Oh, it's mysterious to us, all right. God gave His promise. God's given you His promise that He will ease the stress of your having to be and do what He's called you to be and do if you will just let Him lead you and say, I will, Lord. And He says, then those who come against you, they will fail. And finally, and I close with this, let God use you to change others. Isaiah 6, verse 8, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who'll go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Romans 10, 14. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And He promises us that He will always comfort us. He will always protect us, always. He will be with us even to the end of the age. Often in the Old Testament, when the scripture writers wanted to refer about God's guidance, they would refer to God's hand guiding us. But when they specifically wanted to talk about God's power and protection, they would refer to God's right hand. Because the right hand in Scripture was a symbol of power. So, because, for example, kings in that day would make a decree with the signet ring on their right hand. They would settle issues with their right hand. Fathers would transfer their blessings to their children with their right hands. So, listen to the psalmist, how he describes God's protection for us. You ready? Psalm 139, 7 through 10. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. And let me remind you of one more verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, be immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing, listen to this, church, nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Be anchored in the will of God. And as you're anchored in the perfect will of God, start working like crazy. Remember, the word labor is the word that means to work to the point of exhaustion. That's what it means. It's not a quick fix. It's an investment. Like a runner who stretches to reach the finish line and is panting after he crosses the line, that's how we're to labor for the Lord. Let me ask you this question now. What situation do you know that you're going to face this week in which you may be able to demonstrate one of the attitudes that we've discussed within this series thus far? Are you going to need to love someone? Are you going to need to tell someone? Are you going to need to serve someone? Are you going to need to stand by the truth of God's word regardless of repercussions in your job or in your relationships? Are you going to have opportunity to praise God for the many, many blessings in your life? Are you going to have an opportunity to exercise forgiveness? Listen, in all those ways we've seen in Scripture today, God can. And you can. So the question is, will you? Stand with me as we pray. Father, I pray right now that you would Lord, I feel like I need to pray for you to remove our fear. I just want to stop praying right now, and I just want to ask you. I don't care if you close your eyes or look around. I just want to ask you. How many would admit this morning that there is a degree, maybe the fear of the unknown, maybe the fear of failing, maybe the fear of not knowing enough at the time or something. How many of you would maybe admit this morning that there is some degree of fear in your life for saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Raise your hand. Wow, that's a lot of fear. But thank you for being honest. Because it's not until we get honest with ourselves and with God that God can begin to work in us. Otherwise, we're just playing church. So let me just do this. William's going to close us out in a second, but right now, let me just pray for us on fear. And if you're here today and God has spoken to you through his word, it's not been an explicitly evangelistic word, but if he's called you to salvation today, it's not based on what I say anyway. It's based on his grace reaching out to you. I'm going to ask you to come and let me know that immediately after the service today. And let's sit down and talk. I'll sit down and talk with you right away and what it means to know the Lord. You want to know the Lord. You want to follow the Lord in your life. You just come and talk to me out in the cafe area. But I feel like the way that we need to close this morning is just to really ask God to help us with our fear. So let me pray over you right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, move in this place even now and remove fear from our lives. Many people here today, most people here today, Lord, have said there is a certain degree of fear for saying, here I am, Lord. Send me, use me. So God, I pray that you would set people free from fear this morning for Jesus' sake, that they may be obedient to you and used of you to to love or tell or serve or forgive or whatever you call them to do, Lord. Be honored, be glorified by how we take this response out of this room and execute it in our everyday lives now. Be honored, Lord. It's for your sake we pray. Amen.